The following is a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its owners, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.
Money Talks, the show that gives you the tools to navigate a challenging economy, help you build and protect your wealth, and provide timely news and information to manage your money. Here's the host of Money Talks, Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group on 1590 WAKR.
Good morning, everyone. I am your host, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. This is Money Talks. Thanks for waking up with us this morning on the fourth day of February as we take a look at the markets that ended up on a real nice note yesterday, the best day for the markets this year. That was up over 186 points to close at 20,071. Thank goodness for yesterday. This brought the Dow positive for the year, 1.6%. The NASDAQ was up 30 with a new record of 56.66, closed up 30 points and is positive 5.3% year to date. The S&P 500, it was up better than 16, closed to 22.97. It was 1 point short of being an all-time high. It is up 2.6% year to date. Natural gas was down 12 cents, close to $3.06. In the oil market, we see that the West Texas Intermediate was up 29 cents, closed at $53.83 a barrel, while we have the Brent crude that was up 25 cents, closed at $56.81. Gas futures were up 2 cents to $1.55, and in the Akron area at the pumps, we'll see anything from $1.87 to $2.09. Heard yesterday that the average in Akron is $1.99. That's below the $2.26, which is the national average. Gold was up $1.40, closed at $1,220.80 an ounce. Silver was up 5 cents, closed at $17.48. The VIX was down 96 cents, closed at 10.97. In the bond market, we see that the 2-year now sits at 1.2%, the 10-year is at 2.46%. And the 30 years at 3.09%. We did have in this past week, jobless claims dropped to 246,000. That's a decrease of 14,000 from the previous week. We also saw that productivity climbed by 1.3% in the fourth quarter after surging up by 3.5% in the third quarter. The Labor Department also said that unit labor costs surged by 1.7% in the fourth quarter. That's following a 0.2% uptick in the previous quarter. We also saw the big jobs number yesterday that came in at a higher than expected 227,000 jobs. The expectation was for around 175,000. Good job showing for the administration for their first jobs number. And despite that jobs growth, we saw that the unemployment rate ticked up to 4.8%. Primary reason, more people are back in the job market looking for a job out there. And we also saw that employee hourly earnings growth slowed to 2.5% growth from 2.8% the month before. And consumer confidence slipped to 111.8 in January from a revised 113.3 in December. So that gives you some of the basic news this past week. Lot of news. I mean, a lot of news going on out there pertaining to the new administration, to the markets, to the fake news. I don't know about you, but I know that it has just been overwhelming with the amount of protest and fake news and what's going on here and what's going on there. And you just go, what has happened in this world? Well, unfortunately, it's the new world we live in. And I do want to hit on a couple of things here. And this is for informational purposes. First of all, the fake news. You really, really today have to do your homework because I cannot believe the degree of which the media has transcended over the past number of years. We're seeing people basically what's supposed to be fair and objective is more a writer's feelings and political agenda more than it is objective news, and it really gets disturbing. Of course, we had the president yesterday come out with two new executive orders, one of them having to do with Dodd-Frank that was passed in 2010. One has to do with the DOL, the Department of Labor's fiduciary standard that was to be implemented as of April this year. The Dodd-Frank bill basically has caused the banks since 2010 really to tighten up. They've had to have larger reserves. They weren't able to invest in certain areas. The effect of this was that for many small businesses, they were not able to get the money that they needed to grow their business or to buy new inventory or to buy new types of machinery and so forth. This has caused a problem. Homeowners, unless you've had a high credit score, you've had difficulty getting loans. A lot of this pertaining back to the Dodd-Frank or the Volcker Rule part of it. So they're going to disassemble this. And basically, I think that's going to give a nice jolt to the economy. If you have money to grow your business, well, ultimately, you're probably going to hire more people, and that just that's a nice upward spiral in the economy. The DOL, Department of Labor Rule, that has to do with IRAs, and the rule was to implement a fiduciary standard for anybody working with IRAs. Couple of call-outs here. One I came across with an individual I met with this week who has some accounts over at Edward Jones. Edward Jones has been asking people to sign some documents, basically asking them to put the or to title their IRA investment to Edward Jones for the benefit of. And also change the beneficiary designations. Now, I don't know the exact reasons for this, but through some study, it looks to me like the reason that they're doing it is so that they can continue to receive the commissions that they're receiving from your variable annuity and other types of products without having to sign a BICE agreement, which was going to be required by the Department of Labor on the fiduciary rule. Now, the biggest question I had, and this particular individual had a variable annuity through Lincoln Financial. The Edward Jones representative said, if you do not sign these papers, we're no longer going to service your account. I said, what are they doing to service the account to begin with? Your contract is with Lincoln National. Edward Jones is just the middleman. And this person said, I understand that. I said, the only thing I can see here is that so they're able to get the income. There is no benefit to the client. And as a matter of fact, the big red flag that I see here is Lincoln National, by the way, said Edward Jones is the only broker out there doing this. What's the IRS going to say about this IRA when death occurs? The way that it is structured, I don't think this has been tested or challenged yet. And there are no rulings on this through the IRS. And I really have a big concern that if people sign off this to put it in Edward Jones's name, I understand it's for the benefit of, but still to put it in their name, that they could lose all of the lawful benefits of an IRA that the IRS gives them and what law gives them. So I have a very big concern about that. So anybody out there, if you have one of these, you work with Edward Jones, please be very careful. Do your due diligence. Do some background checking. I don't like the way that this looks. And so certainly take some heat in it. We also, of course, have had the 90-day immigration ban. Of course, the left-wing media is calling it the Muslim ban. I do have an article here that I wanted to share with you because we're going to talk about the financial ramifications of this. This comes from the Gatestone Institute. There are now many Catholic commentators who are questioning the church's blindness about the danger Europe is facing. This was written by Giulio Miotti of the Gatestone Institute. Now, the Gatestone Institute is a not-for-profit, nonpartisan international policy council dedicated to filling in the gaps when the mainstream media fails to educate the public on topics ranging from energy independence to human rights. This week, they published a piece focused on the Catholic Church's ongoing ignorance of the growing threat of Islam in Europe. The article says, as we pointed out time and time again, Islam does not mesh with Western law and culture. Over the past few years, Germany and other nations that have opened their doors to refugees from Muslim nations have seen increases in crime, a rise in anti-Semitism, and protests against European holidays and traditions. As I write in a previous article, they say the massive resettlement operation birthed by the civil war in Syria is an invasion that threatens to undermine and even replace European culture. Take France, where immigration and repeated terror attacks have given rise to far-right political parties. Extremism is growing everywhere. We're on the brink of civil war, says Patrick Culver, the French General Directorate of Internal Security. Monsignor Carlo Liberti, an Archbishop Emeritus of Pompeii, claims that Islam will soon become Europe's main religion. He blames increased immigration as well as the growing secularism among native Europeans. In 10 years, we will all be Muslims because of our stupidity, he says. Italy and Europe live in a pagan and atheist way. They make laws that go against God, and they have traditions that are proper of paganism. We have a weak Christian faith, he continues. The church nowadays does not work well, and seminaries are empty. Liberati also points out that the birth rate among Muslims is far higher than that among Christians. They have children, and we do not. We are in full decline. Liberati is one of the growing number of Catholics who oppose Pope Francis's vision of Europe and criticizes him for his friendly attitude towards Islam and migrants. Perhaps we focus too much on the radiant image of humanity, on the good. Now, in the last year, or perhaps also in the recent years, we have seen there is also evil, said German Archbishop Heiner Koch. In December, after a single ISIS affiliate killed 12 people at a Christmas market in Berlin. It is clear that Muslims have an ultimate goal, conquering the world, adds the Cardinal Raymond Burke. Through the Sharia law, Islam wants to rule the world and allows violence against the infidels, like Christians. I have heard several times an Islamic idea. What we failed to do with weapons in the past, we are doing today with the birth rate and immigration. We can only hope that Pope Francis sees the truth. These politicians, bishops, cardinals might convince Pope Francis not to abandon Europe, the cradle of Christianity and Western civilization, to a looming dark fate. The editors notice they finished the article. The liberal media has propagated the notion that Islam is a religion that deserves to be unfettered, all the while covering the radical activities of Islamic extremists. This is an easy example of Orwell's doublethink. Unfortunately, this is not merely an academic exercise. The point I'm making here and the reason I bring this article up is because we need to be cautious. We need to be cautious of what's going on. Get on the internet and look up at what's going on in Dearborn, Michigan, for example, which is a very large Muslim community. Folks, the Muslims do not want to assimilate into our society. They want to follow Sharia law. Sharia law trumps God's law and government law. They feel they have the right to change things. There is a real threat here, and the threat is today when we look over in Europe and what's happening over in Europe. If the European Union were to dissolve and fall because of what's going on over there, that would be devastating for the entire global community. So we have to be, and I have to say personally, I'm not an expert in Muslim culture, and I'm not trying to declare that. But what I felt that the administration did with the temporary ban of 90 days so that they could take a look, because the seven countries, and the reason that this is so important is because the seven countries that they used as in their example for this, these are countries that we cannot vet who's coming in here adequately. And so they're looking to make sure we are a country of immigrants. I have no problem with that. Come in legally, be part of the United States. This is the way that this country was born. But we cannot let these people come in here that do not want to assimilate into our culture, that they want to hurt the Christians and the Jews. These are the people that we have to be aware of. And I commend the administration for looking at this threat. It is a real threat. And I really am saddened by the amount of protest out there concerning this issue. They're not willing to stand up for our own American vets who are living on the streets because they can't afford housing. That just really distresses me. Or for the poor that are in this country, or the people that need the help in this country, but yet they'll get off their behinds and they'll go protest something for people that they don't even understand what's going on, and especially the women. The Muslim law, if you look at how they treat the women, it is disgraceful. And yet they're out there protesting to let these people come into the country. That is a concern of mine. And that certainly could have repercussions that could throw a big wrench into the economic global economies out there, hurting the markets, hurting business, hurting growth, and hurting all of us in the pocketbook. It's something we have to be aware of and educate ourselves on. Anyway, if we come back after these commercial breaks, we're going to talk about credit and FICO scores. So stay with us. We'll be back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back on this Saturday morning. You know, there's a few money mistakes that could get you into legal trouble, and we kind of wanted to cover those quickly. You know, be attentive when putting your signature on paperwork. One of those having to do with co-signing. People don't understand the legalities and responsibilities when you co-sign for a loan. It's not just signing it so that somebody with bad credit can get themselves a loan, probably on a house or a car or something along those lines. You are just as legally responsible as they are. In fact, if they make late payments, the late payments show up on your credit report too. If they don't pay, they're coming to you to get paid. What is the reason a person needs a co-signer? The banks and financial institutions that do this every single day have determined this person is not creditworthy. Why then would you co-sign for somebody that the professionals deem as not creditworthy? So you have to be very careful because you are responsible. And I've seen this happen many times, particularly with people getting into or just into retirement. They co-sign. Now they're responsible, and it changes their whole retirement outlook because they've now become responsible for a debt that the person that originally signed for it can no longer pay. They've been downsized. They've been let go. They've been fired. Whatever the circumstances are, you are now the one on the hook. Be careful about mixing your personal wealth and business assets. A lot of self-employed people stumble into legal trouble when they have their business accounts as their personal bank account. You really need to separate these. You need your paper trail. You need to be able to verify to the IRS, this is this and that is that. And if you don't do it well, you could really find yourself into a lot of hot water. Be diligent doing your taxes. Here's an example that they write about where a person has a small business. She'd been sending in her quarterly payments. She figured enough money was deposited each quarter, but she didn't file any returns. Well, the IRS came calling, and they showed that her estimates were below what they should have been. So there's all kinds of additional penalties and fees that are involved. And if you do things really wrong, the IRS not only take your money, but they can throw you in jail. So you have to be very aware of this. You have to be very careful with your taxes. You know, yes, sometimes small mistakes can be made, but if there is intent or if there is fraud, you can really end up in a lot of hot water. So you need to be attentive to your paperwork. You need to understand what you're signing. You need to separate your business and personal checkbooks and monies. You need to make sure that you're diligent in doing your taxes correctly. Just be careful with all the paperwork. This has really become we're a society of paperwork. I remember 20 years ago, they kept talking about the paperless society. It only seems to have gotten more involved and more regulations and more things that we are responsible for. You just don't want to be caught on the wrong end when it comes to some of these. So just be careful. Make sure things are done properly. And this will avoid any type of future problems, particularly with the IRS people. They have powers that you cannot understand until they come calling on you. So just be careful. And we'll be back with the joke of the week after these commercial breaks. Please stay with us.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590. With more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back. It is time for the Money Talks Joke of the Week. And this week, a brunette walks over to her blonde friend's home, finds her crying. "What happened? Why are you crying?" she asked. Well, the blonde tells her that her mother passed away. Well, then the neighbor makes her some coffee, comforts her, and then leaves. The next day, the neighbor goes back over to the house and finds the blonde is crying again. Once again, she asks, "Why are you crying?" Well, this time the blonde replies hysterically, "I just got off the phone with my sister, and her mother died too." Okay. Anyway, we wanted to talk a little bit about credit and credit scores today and maybe some myths that you don't know about. And so we're going to take a look at those. Credit is so important, particularly here in the United States, because, you know, you buy a car, you buy a house, you use your credit card. We need credit. Your auto and homeowners insurance, they look at your credit score as one of the determining factors of what your premiums will be. So it's very important to be attentive and aware of what your credit score is, making sure that nobody is, taking your ID and opening accounts and so forth. So you need to check at the three credit reporting agencies at least once a year. And you can do that through annualcreditreport.com. You're allowed a free credit report. They are going to ask you for your Social Security number, so don't worry about putting that in because they need that to verify. But this is the official site of where you go to check your credit reports every year, making sure that only the accounts you know of are on there, making sure that they have the right address, they have the right information. We need to be diligent and check that. And you should do that once every year. There's a myth about closing unused credit card accounts is good for your credit. The fact is the average age of your accounts is a significant part of your score. Keeping your oldest cards open, even if you don't use them, generally will help to make your score better. A myth: paying your utility or cell phone bill on time builds your score. The fact is, well, not really. But on the other hand, if you are later delinquent, it will hurt you. The myth: holding a credit card balance is good for your credit. The fact: generally, it's better to pay your credit card bill in full and on time every month. Plus, that way it avoids interest charges. the myth. There's only one credit score. The fact is there are multiple credit scoring models used by multiple credit scoring companies. Your score can even change depending on the type of loan you are seeking. But there is only one FICO score, and that's the one that a lot of people will use. Sometimes they'll use the, you know, the Experian or TransUnion score, but the FICO is the king daddy of them all. The myth, while more than half of consumers know that checking your credit report will not reduce your credit score, 27% said that it will. The fact, a so-called hard inquiry for credit card applications or credit checks for loans can cause a temporarily dip in your score. Hard inquiries, folks, are you're out looking to buy a car, they run a credit report. You want to open up a new credit card, they'll run a credit report. If you're applying for a loan on a home, they'll apply for a credit report. These are hard inquiries. Soft inquiries, such as reviewing your credit score through annualcreditreport.com or Credit Karma or any of these others, they will not impact your score. In fact, it says frequent credit score checks actually improve your credit score because you are being responsible checking your credit, making sure everything is valid. That is actually helping. When we look at this also, you look at things, for example, what is considered a good credit score? Well, 700 to 850 is considered an excellent credit score. If you're down at 350, and not that I've ever seen a 350, but boy, would that take a lot of work to get down there in the basement like that. Because even people that have lack of credit are actually even going to have a higher score than 350. 350 means that you're really doing everything you can to lower that score. You're getting hard inquiries. You're keeping your balances too high. You're not paying on time. You're over your ratios. I mean, you really would have to work hard. When you look at credit also, when are times that you should use credit? Well, for example, if you need to buy a car to get a better paying job, that's good credit. Not when you have to go on vacation or you need some clothes or you're buying a want item and not a need item. Basically, if your credit card is stolen and a thief runs up a total of $1,000, but you notify the issuer of the card as soon as you discover it, what's the maximum by federal law that you are going to be held to? $50. But most credit card companies have a $0 policy. You would actually owe nothing. So as long as you discover it and you report it quickly, you're not going to be liable for anything because probably the majority of our listeners have had some incidents where there's been some fraud with a credit card or identity theft or something along those lines. It's not fun. It's not enjoyable, but it does happen. The thieves just keep getting smarter all the time. And you really, you know, it's one step forward, then they take one step beyond that, and then they take one step. It's just you have to be diligent. You have to understand what's going on out there. And unfortunately, we have to have credit in this country, and so we personally have to place the responsibility on ourselves to make sure that we do what we need to do in order to keep that open. That is checking your credit reports once a year. That is making sure that you pay your bills on time. That is making sure that you're very prudent in the way that you use credit. If it's used responsibly, it's a very good thing. Used irresponsibly, you literally can wind up in a lifelong battle of trying to pay off credit cards. And when does it generally start? In your late teens, early 20s. If you get that credit card, you think it's free money, oh boy, are you going to end up in a lot of trouble. Because with those interest rates today, I mean, when you're talking about a 25, 28, 30% interest rate, good luck paying that down. Even using the minimum payment, it's going to take you decades to pay that thing off. So you have to be very, very careful about using credit. Now it's time to get on the phone lines for the Money Talks quiz of the week. 330-370-1590 is the number into the studio. We just have three easy multiple choice questions for you to answer. If you happen to get all three correct, we'll move you into the bonus round. One additional questions to get yourself a shot at a second breakfast at Bob Evans. 330-370-1590 is the number into the studio. We're going to take caller number five today, and we'll be right back after these commercial breaks.
Now back to Professor Money, Richard Peterson of Capital Financial Group. Available online at ProfessorMoney.com and taking your calls at 330-370-1590 with more of Money Talks on 1590 WAKR.
And we welcome you back to Money Talks. It is time for the Money Talks quiz of the week. And it looks like we have Eileen on the line from Akron. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning, Richard.
How are you today?
Fine.
Hey, we're quickly moving towards spring, you know?
Yes, we are. About 46 days.
Oh, you got it down,
yes,
huh?
Yes, I do.
I was just looking the other day to see, we got the time change coming up in just about a month here.
Right.
That's going to be nice.
Yes, it is.
You know, to have those longer evenings. Because I'll tell you what, you know, and we've been lucky this year with the cold and snow. If we could just have some of that light at night, it would make it so much nicer.
Oh, right.
But, you know, because you're sitting there and, you know, it's 5:30 at night, 6 o'clock, and it seems like it's midnight. I'll tell you. But
yes.
Anyway, I'll get to our questions
today.
Eileen, I want to know, it was the Dow Jones now sits at over 20,000 points. Where was the Dow Jones? What was the Dow Jones's close on March the 9th, 2009? Now, this was the bottom of the recession as far as the market is concerned. What was the close on March the 9th? Was it 65.47, 71.25, or 75.16? And you can see just how far we've come in just the past few years to be up at 20,000.
I'm going to say the second one.
71.25?
Yes.
Actually, we were all the way down to 65.47.
Oh, I almost said that, too.
I mean, that is low, low, low for the markets. I mean, when you look at the returns, you know, we're better than three times that at this point. But unbelievable what the markets have done since then. My next question, since we're looking at history here a little bit, what is the highest FICO score that you can get, Eileen? Is it 800, 850, or 890?
800.
850.
Oh.
850 is a perfect FICO score. It goes from 350 to 850. But I'll tell you what, if you have an 800 score, you're going to get any loan you want.
That's right.
At the lowest rates possible. And my last question for you. Currently, we have Janet Yellen, who is the Fed chairman. Before her, we had Alan Greenspan. Who was the Fed chairman before Alan Greenspan? Was it David Stockman, Paul Volcker, or Donald Regan?
I'll say the second one.
Paul Volcker?
Yes.
Ah, we got you. Very good. Oh. Very good. You got one out of three.
Oh, good.
Paul Volcker was the Fed chairman back, if you remember, 1980, 81, 82, where we had that high inflationary environment. You wanted to take out a loan on a home, you were going to pay a 17, 18% mortgage. This was orchestrated with Paul Volcker and the president. They boosted up rates and boosted up the inflation, and the end result really helped the economy because of what they were trying to do. And he was a pretty good Fed chairman, I do have to say. But you got one out of three. And we're going to send you, of course, your breakfast to Bob Evans.
Thank you very much. And you keep warm today. It's going to be chilly.
I will. At least it's not zero or below.
And thank you for all the knowledge you give us on this show.
Oh, I appreciate that very much. I'm glad you get something out of it.
Yes, I do.
Very good. Well, Eileen, you have a nice weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye now. And, you know, we talked earlier in the show about some of this fake news and so forth. I wanted to, we also talked about some of the concerns about the changing the name with Edward Jones, for example. There's another area I wanted to talk about. You know, I like to keep abreast of what people are doing out there. And I came across a particular financial professional's website. And because of the legalities, I'm not going to mention his name, but I will mention some of the things that I really had some deep concerns about. Basically, I'm going to say that this person is the black kettle calling the kettle black. A person, if you look at his website, is showing, for example, the body of his information, talks about how people out there will present themselves as financial professionals and planners and so forth, and really all they are is a product salesman for a particular product, and about how he looks at things differently and does full comprehensive planning and this and that and the other thing. Well, I know this person. I've been to his seminars. I know what he does, and he's a product salesman. All he does is sell annuities. Now, I like fixed annuities, but it's not the only thing that should be in your portfolio. And this person is calling other people out when he does the exact same thing. And the question is, how are you, the layman, supposed to know what to do? I don't have an answer for that, because it is very disconcerting. I have seen meeting with people over the past several months, for example, they are still, through their brokers, heavily invested in bonds. Why? This is a guaranteed loser. We went into the election in early November. We were down about 1.6% on the 10-year. We're currently just under 2.5%. By the professionals' own accounts out there, we break through 2.6%. It is up and beyond after that. When interest rates go up, bond values go down. And so these brokers have these people in losing accounts. Very unfair, very unprofessional, and it just brings to question, who are they really concerned about? Brokers put you into things and then they don't really care. They're not watching them on a daily basis. They're there to line their pockets and move on. A little bit of a self-promotion here. We are concerned about our clients. We do give daily attention to the accounts. Do some of these other people out there, do they really understand the economic cycles? Do they really understand the cause and effects of different events that take place? Do they understand the different laws and how they're going to affect the bottom line of different companies that you have investments in? There is so much that's involved out there. And one of the big ones that people still have a fallacy about are the banks. They're in the banks. These people, the tellers, have now been directed to move people with larger account balances over to their financial professionals. These are the guys that I washed out at the big brokerage companies. These are the guys that are going to be there for a year, 2 years, maybe 3 years if you're lucky. They're there to line their pockets with commission dollars. They don't have a fiduciary responsibility to look out for your best interest. We do. They're there to earn commissions as much as they can so that they can keep a job. That's not the right way to do it. How about somebody who's looking out for your account and making sure, making trades when there's an economic benefit to you? I don't make any commissions. When I make a trade in your account, it's a simple flat fee. We want to protect and grow your money to the greatest extent with the least amount of risk. We understand what's going out there in the economic cycles. We understand what's going out there, the current environment. A lot of people do not understand this, nor do they care. Be careful. Be careful when you give a professional your money. Interview them. Make sure that they're going to work to your best benefit. First question, are you going to work as a fiduciary? Number one question. Because if they're not, I'd walk away. You need somebody that's looking out for your best interest, not theirs. And with that, another show has come to an end. It has been a great pleasure to share the past hour with you, and we always welcome the opportunity to work with you at Capital Financial Group as your personal financial advisor. Let us help you to eliminate the worry, the concern, the anxiousness, the misunderstandings that come with financial planning, with come with your portfolio management, how to roll over, understanding the laws, your IRAs, and the like. Give us a call. Our number is 330-668-6991. That's 330-668-6991. Thanks for having us in today, and we'll see you next Saturday at 7 right here on Money Talks. Have a great week.
This has been Money Talks with Richard Peterson, president of Capital Financial Group. This program is informational only and should not replace a financial consultation before investing your money. Registered financial advisors are key toward a balanced and responsible financial policy. This has been a paid program. 1590 WAKR and its parent company, the Rubber City Radio Group, are not responsible for its content.